Haley Creek has a special this morning.
Good morning. We're a few men short. We have a singing this afternoon, and we were supposed to have been after 6 o'clock, but we found out it was that after lunch. So we're going to have to sing with 6 men that there are singing, so we're going to sing 6 men this morning. I'm the most blessed man in this church, I believe. And at the same time, I'm the worst sinner in this church. But my God saved me through Jesus Christ. And he saved you the same way if you're saved this morning. Y'all ready? When I get the glory, I'm going to sing, sing, sing. I'm going to let the hallelujahs ring. I'm going to praise my blessed Savior's name. When I get the glory, I'm going to sing, sing, sing. In this world of sorrow, I've seen trouble and woe. When I get to glory, I'll see no more. For I know my prayers have not been in vain. When I get to glory, I'm going to sing, sing, sing. Sometimes I get so weary inside. Then I recall how my Jesus died. But there I know I'll feel no pain. When I get to glory, I'm going to sing, sing, sing. When I get to glory, I'm going to sing, sing, sing. I'm going to let the hallelujah ring. I'm going to praise my blessed Savior's name. When I get to glory, I'm going to sing, sing, sing. This morning to come over and sing with us. We're going to do this in G-Arm. We had a little practice Wednesday night, and I think we practiced with 4 of us. There's 10 in our group. And we have singers, we have fiddle players, we have banjo players, we have mandolin players, and of course some of them are working this morning, and that's the way it is in any group. You have to kind of get together. That's the way it is in our church. We're called out assembly. And we're supposed to come out whenever we're called out, and that's what a church, that's the name of a church, is a called out assembly. And it's the same way in a singing group or any other group that you're in church or in the gospel. You're called out. You're called out to spread the gospel, and the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of my Jesus Christ.
Amen. You got to walk that lonesome valley. You got to go by yourself. There's no one there can go there for you. You gotta go there by yourself. Some folks say John was a Baptist, others say he was a Jew, but the Holy Bible plainly tells us that he was a preacher too. You gotta walk yourself. gone. Put your faith and trust in Jesus, or you will be left alone. You gotta walk that lonesome valley. You gotta go there by yourself. There's no one here can go there for you. You gotta go there by yourself. Yes, you gotta go by yourself.
Amen. Didn't they do a great job? I appreciate Brother Jimmy for filling in the sound man. Then Brother Kenneth stepped in and they did good. They know they can't just get up here. They've tried to get up here and just sing just one. And someone was talking. Let's see if this works. Well, I can see Jamie really good. Ooh, man. There you go. Someone was saying that Promised Land, and if you ever go around the back of the building, this auditorium was built in 8081, right in there. Brother Brown was here. And they left the brick off the back. It's just cypress back there. That way they could, you know, if we saw the need to expand the auditorium, Brother Henry, I can see you. Don't be goofing off back there. All right. That they would just knock out the back wall and just make it any longer. But if we do, I'm going to really need these things. And because y'all are way back there. One time I sat back there just during a Christmas thing or Easter thing. I wasn't in. It's a long ways. I look really small from back there. And which is good after all the turkey that I ate. Go ahead and get your outlines. Let's head to the book of Luke. And I hope we do need to expand the building. I don't know which way we'll go, if we'll go out the back, the side, the front. But I hope we do need to expand. I hope that our church has a lot of problems in the future. Problems with parking. Problems with too big a crowd. Problems with, I like those kind of problems. Those are good problems. It's good to have, it's okay to have those kind of problems. Whenever I was growing up, the title for this message, I was just thinking about the holidays and what all the holidays mean to me. And I've got a lot of memories around the holidays. Some are not very good memories. After my mom and dad divorced, it was always a tough time in the holidays. Because, you know, picking who you were going to spend the holidays with and that sort of thing. Growing up in a broken home, it just was. The only good part about the Christmas holidays is I seemed to get more presents at the holidays. That was about the only good thing, and that was because of I had step grandparents. And so I had not only my mom's parents and my dad's parents, but then I had my step's parents on both sides. And so there was a lot of extra gifts coming my way. And so that was about the only good thing. The bad part about it was, of course, was the you know, it was a lot of friction. And I cannot stand friction even today. I don't know if it was because of that. I'll easily walk away from an argument or something like that, and it won't bother me a bit, won't lose any sleep over it. I remember my sister and I discussing it, and she remembers things that I don't about those particular days, growing up in a broken home, the friction, if you will, and whatnot, and she remembers things I don't remember. And I've got a really good memory of the past, and can remember pretty accurately what I've done. I have trouble remembering what I'm supposed to do. I'll have to ask Karen, what am I doing tomorrow? I can't remember. But I remember what I have done. And I think, I never thought about it this way, but Taylor went to a teenage conference, and she bought a book, I think, and maybe it's one of Karen's conferences, that said, guys' brains are like waffles, And women's brains are like spaghetti. And what that means is, and it's the physiology of it, or if you will, the psychiatry of it, more accurate term, is true. And that is, men's brains are only on, and this is true, if you ever do a study on it, there's pathways that connect both sides of your brain, and there's a little hormone called testosterone that's released whenever a child is about 8 days old. And in a man's brain, that shrivels up all those pathways that connect those two sides of the brain. So men are more compartmentalized. And I think God did that on purpose. A lot of times in stressful situations, not saying that women can't, but they're connected. And a lot of times they reflect not only logic but emotion at the same time. And men just have little compartments. A lot of times they're only operating on that one compartment. So this is true, ladies. You have this. You're using your whole brain at once, where men can't do that. And we can only use half at one time. And so that'll give you a little glimmer into the life of a man. And so I think I compartmentalized and put that stuff over there. Thanksgiving. And you know, Karen noticed this. Karen, have you ever noticed this? Karen, now you can ask me after church, say, did you notice what so-and-so was wearing? And all I'll remember is they was wearing clothes. That's all I'll notice. The only way I'll notice anything different is if you don't wear anything, and I'll notice that, okay? But women notice things that men don't. I don't really pay attention to certain things, and women definitely do, including my wife, because she is one. And she was saying that especially at Walmart and other department stores, how that there's Halloween decorations, these fall decorations, and then immediately the stores start putting out Christmas stuff. There were Christmas decorations and trees, Brother Ernie, that went up before Thanksgiving. I mean, they just started putting them up. Even in towns, Hamburg started hanging lights before Thanksgiving. And that's really the essence of the message this morning. Why was Thanksgiving holiday started? And it was a declaration. started out as a day declared by George Washington, a day we ought to give thanks. And later on, it became a federal holiday. It seems like we skip Thanksgiving. And not to say that Christmas is bad, or it's not. It's every holiday is what you make of it. The world looks at the fall, and we think of Halloween, and it's a very paganistic holiday with even witchcraft or pagan backings and all of that in history and all that. And Thanksgiving, though, where was it started? Why was it started? Today, a lot of times people think of Thanksgiving, they think of a turkey. But really, the turkey is not the official symbol of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is about thanking our God. And, you know, and I've got a lot of great memories of Thanksgiving and growing up, especially being from a sports family. I've been to several Dallas Cowboy Thanksgiving Day games. My dad took me back in the days of Tom Landry, Roger Staubach, Tony Dorsett, and all of those guys back in the late 70s and early 80s. And just have some great memories of those things. Now, also, I've got a lot of memories of families, and you do too, of getting together. But folks, did you know that there are people here in the U.S. Now, I could give the example of all over the world, but did you know Thanksgiving is just a United States holiday? I'm sure there's other countries that have either adopted it or have similar traditions, but Thanksgiving is a United States thing. Now, Christmas has gone all over the world, but Thanksgiving is something special, something that we don't do as often as we should. We shouldn't just thank God one time a year for what we have, but we should thank Him every day and not take for granted the things that God has blessed us with. I'm thankful for my memories. I'm thankful for families getting together. Now, last year, we did something, and I shared this with you, and I don't know. I'll try to talk them out of doing it if we or ever over there again, even if Karen and I have to do all the cooking. And that is, we went out to eat last Thanksgiving with my Texas family over there on my side, and it just worked out that way. And we said, well, let's try it, but it just didn't seem the same. You know, we didn't have to clean up anything. That was the best thing about it. You didn't have to clean up anything. But it seemed like just the home memories and being together at home and sitting around and visiting and taking a nap on that afternoon and eating some more later, it just was not the same. And so I hope that we can avoid doing that in the future. Speaking of thanks, let's start off with Luke chapter 17, verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go, show yourself unto the priest. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Now, I think I want to stop there. And, of course, there were 10 that were cleansed, and only one came back and gave thanks. And he gave thanks with a loud voice. Now, a lot of times in the Bible, you have to read between the lines. The Bible will give you the facts of an event, but not all the details. But there were details that happened. There were a lot of things in the Bible that are not that's recorded as a main event, but you know that there were things that went on. You know that there were times of get-togethers. Can you imagine sitting around a campfire with Jesus and the disciples? I mean, they had those times where they slept under the stars, where they laid down on the rocks, where they discussed things late into the night and got up the next morning and were on their way to another village or another place. For 3.5 years, these men followed Jesus, and many times he would work a miracle and there would be a lesson tied to it or something that would occur that would be beneficial to them. So this morning, for just a while, what is skipping Thanksgiving all about? Have you skipped giving thanks? Maybe even God wants you to give thanks before other people. When you understand what happens to people as we drift away from God, those binoculars, you know, what an analogy. And that's just a very simple thing. How many times have I looked through a pair of binoculars the wrong way? And all of you are 10 miles away. There are things in life that can make God become closer, and there are things in life that can make God become further away. A Bible is a pair of binoculars for God. Did you know, listen to me very closely, you can even be lost and on a road to hell. That lost means that you've never personally said, God, I am a sinner. You died for me. Would you please come into my life and save me? If you've never prayed and asked the Lord to save you and come into your life, well, then you don't know Him. You don't know Him like I do. By the way, somebody left a nice-looking Bible, large print compact. It's still very small. But anyway, nice-looking Bible. Folks, you know what I think? I think even a lost person can read this and get closer to God. Now, it doesn't mean you're saved. It just means you see Him more closely and you understand. That's also why the Bible says in Romans 10:17 that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. God gets closer when you read His Word. But again, in order to have a relationship with Him, you've got to realize that it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't forget about your Bible after church. Pick it up. All right. Whosoever it may be. Now, in looking at this example this morning, there are so many things that we have to be thankful for. So many times we forget. Number one, the magnitude of God's gift. In verse 12, it says this. It talks about these lepers and how that they were separated. They were 10 men which were lepers that stood afar off. The Bible refers to a lost man as being alienated or away from God. The magnitude of God's gift is this. Before you were saved, you were afar off. It says in verse 12 that these men met Him as He was coming in to this certain village. So why were they outside of the village? Well, the law, even though that these were Samaritans and they probably didn't follow the law, they still followed the pattern, if you will, of staying. Well, if you have leprosy, it's contagious. Nobody else wants leprosy. And so you're going to live over here. They had, in the Bible days, and probably still do today in many countries, have leper colonies. In other words, if you have leprosy, nobody wants that. And a common disease today would be the disease of AIDS. Now, I'll never forget the day. I think it was in 1991 or 92 when Magic Johnson made the huge announcement to the world that he had contracted the HIV virus. Now, many people had a lot of issues. I mean, how do you catch it? I mean, their people were scared because people from the early 80s or the late 70s, when the first case of AIDS and the HIV virus came on the scene and the world became aware of this particular ailment, this disease, that people were scared of it because people did die from it. I mean, even today, you see how diseases or sicknesses such as the H1N1, you know, there are tons more people, you can look these facts up on the internet, that die of pneumonia every year than have died of the swine flu or the H1N1 virus. And sure, it's very highly contagious, but it gets popularized and secularized and put out there, and it just, the media goes frenzy with it. I'll never forget back whenever the West Nile virus was so, and the bird flu and all these other things were just magnified. But then there's diseases that come along that people are really scared of because people do die from them. AIDS and HIV. Many people, I mean, he quit playing basketball. Then they found out, well, the only way to contract it is blood to blood and bodily fluid and all of that other stuff. And so, well, he can play. But still, people didn't want to play with him. What if he gets a cut? Or what about this? And so leprosy, people didn't want to touch him. People didn't want to have anything to do with him. And the Bible says sin is like leprosy. It separates you from God. And that's what we have here. There were lepers which stood afar off. You know, Jesus Christ did some things to give you a free gift. In the book of Colossians, if you will, let's head there. Colossians 1:21. I have to speed it up here and get it in high gear. It says, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, and yet now hath been reconciled." Now, I love the passage, and I'm not going to turn over there for time's sake, but Philippians 2, 5 through 11 says, Jesus Christ, He took upon the form of a man, the form of a servant, and He took upon the sting of death. And that's found, of course, there in those scriptures. Also, 1 Corinthians 15, it talks about Jesus Christ died and rose again. Brother Jimmy was preaching the gospel. I love 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. It says this. It says that they preached unto them the gospel which means that Jesus Christ died according to the Scriptures and rose again according to the Scriptures. So what is the gospel? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The magnitude of God's gift is this. None of us deserve to go to heaven. All of us are separated by sin. All of us have told a lie. That makes us liars. All of us have lusted. Everyone, you say, well, I've never, no, you just lied. Therefore, you're a liar again. We've all lusted. We've all taken things that doesn't belong to us. We're all thieves. We all have stolen. What is all that saying? If you just deal with three or four of the Ten Commandments, the law just shows us that we're sinners. That's all it does. That's the whole purpose of the law, is to show that we're sinners. So the magnitude of God's gift is this. We don't deserve heaven. Someone said once, I'm a pretty good person. You know, well, if you look at the law says that we're not. Did you know there are some people in this world that are really, really good and nice people, and they try to live according to God's Word, but if they've never asked Jesus to save them, then they're trusting in their works. Isaiah 64:6 says this, that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. Did you know that? And the filthy rags, one of the meanings for the filthy rags is these lepers would cover their sores in bandages. And you take those bandages that are full of that ugly smelling pus. And it says of every good thing. Listen to me very closely. I'm trying to explain to you what a great gift you have if you're saved. Every good thing that you do for God. God, I gave $10,000 to the church. God, I studied my Bible. God, I've been to Sunday school or church 100 times in a row. God says that's like filthy rags. Pus-smelling rags in God's sight. If you're trying to impress God, how can you impress somebody who made the solar system? How can you impress somebody when His handiwork is every star and He's named every one of them? How can you impress Him? The only way to impress Him is by saying, God, I'll trust You and I accept Your Son as my Savior. He says, for God so loved the world that He gave a church. For God so loved the world that He gave a preacher. Foolish! For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's the magnitude of God's gift. Next, I want to talk about the multitude of God's grace. Now, back in our text, in verse 13 and 14, it says, they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And it says this, that when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves to the priest. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. So they received cleansing because they obeyed God. Now, some believe, and I think it's probably pretty accurate, that they only received physical cleansing. The one that returned actually got saved. Probably pretty accurate. But it says this, you know, speaking of God's grace, let's head to these are really awesome verses. Speaking of God's grace, Ephesians chapter 2. Just go to the book of Ephesians, just a few pages over. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7 and Ephesians 4 verse 7 says this, that in the ages to come, I want to go ahead and say this. Let me just go ahead and read between the lines again in Ephesians 2, 7. I'm going to go ahead and say God, because that is the He for that pronoun. And then it says that in the ages to come, God wants to show to you the exceeding riches of His grace and in His kindness. Now I want to go ahead and change that word too, because I want to make it personal, because this is speaking to everybody, but I want to say to you. It says to us, that's plural. To you, what? Through His grace, through who? Through Jesus. God doesn't show His grace through the planets. God doesn't show His grace through angels. God doesn't show His grace through building you a building. God shows His grace to you through Jesus. Now, chapter 4 and verse 7. Oops, there we go. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now, if you accept Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, God gives you His grace. What is grace? Basically this. Don't make it any more fancy than this. Grace is giving you something you don't deserve. That's what grace is. Grace is giving you free gift. So many people think, they can look at somebody at jail, I'm better than them. They can look at somebody that's a hypocrite in church, and I'm better than them. They know of somebody that's sleeping around, and they say they're a Christian. Folks, there are a bunch of Christians in Ashley County, but folks, Christians aren't always saved. Because you can be a Christian in name only. I'm a Christian. But are you saved? Pick on Brother Jimmy again. He said up here, he said, my Jesus. I heard it. It was clear as day. He said the word, my Jesus. I sure hope that's the AC. In our Wednesday night Bible study, we're going through this deal called the Sharing Jesus Without Fear. And it's got 5 conversation starters in there. And one of the conversation starters is this. Who is Jesus to you? Ask anybody. I beg of you. I don't know how many is here this morning, 160 or whatever. People still shopping or coming back or going on vacation. Okay, I ask any of you. This week, y'all know y'all got to go back to school Monday? I'm sorry. I'm bearer of bad news. Ask somebody this question this week. Please, please. I'm going to sit down right here and have a talk with you. Okay, you ready? Ask somebody this week. Just see the answer you get. Anybody, even if you're lost, there may be somebody in here. Ask yourself this. Who is Jesus to you? And listen to the answer. Now, Jesus, they'll answer one of two ways. I guarantee, matter of fact, I've never, ever, ever, when I've asked this question, I've probably done it not a whole lot, maybe 2 dozen times, maybe, total. Ask people, who is Jesus? Okay? So a lot of times I'll ask them different questions, but anyway, listen to this. They'll answer in a personal way or a historical way. Well, Jesus is God's Son, historical fact. Well, is that all He is? Well, He's also the Savior of the world. You know what they're doing? They're repeating what they heard their parents say or their Sunday school teacher say. So that's a historical fact. I learned that in Sunday school. Jesus is God's Son. Or Jesus, and that's true. That's okay. But here's the better answer. Who is Jesus to you? He's my Savior. He's God's son, but he's also my Savior. When you first think of Jesus, now I'm not trying to trick you. I'm trying to get you to see something here in simple country logic. When you think of Jesus, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? And that's probably all the way you look at him. Or the main way you look at him. When I say, who is Jesus to you, what is the first thing that pops in your mind? And that's probably the main way you look at him. Oh, he's God's son. Are you just repeating what your parents taught you, what your Sunday school teacher taught you? That's true. It is a correct answer. He is God's son. But who is Jesus to you? Personally, is he your Savior or is he a historical figure only? Okay? All right. Moving on, because I got time. All right. The majesty of God's glory is this, back in our text, verse 16 through 19. This one that returned back and was thanking Jesus in verse 15 with a loud voice. You know, think about this. Would some of you have had cancer? But what if if the doctor came back in after he x-rayed you or CAT scanned you or scanned you or whatever, and he comes back in and the large tumor has suddenly disappeared, would you say, well, that's good, honey, let's go home? Or would you say, you're kidding me, it's gone? Well, that is awesome, great, man, I can't wait to tell somebody that it's gone. I don't know how, but if you're saved, you'd give God the glory and you'll thank him, and you won't be quiet about it because for some reason that you didn't deserve, that tumor has disappeared. Or would, think about this, his AIDS. This fellow's got the equivalent of the first century version of AIDS. And all of a sudden, he's obeying Jesus. He said, well, the priest lives over there on Barclay Street, so I'm headed over there, showing myself to the priest, because that's where the priest is, and that's what he told me to do. He looks down, and it's gone. What does he do? He fell down and on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a half-breed, a half-Jew, a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9, or where are the other guys? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now the one who exercised faith, I think there's probably a good chance that he not only received physical cleansing, but he received spiritual cleansing as well. In other words, he got saved. If you're saved, you have a reason to rejoice this morning because you have a home in heaven, an eternal home that can never be taken away. Well, lastly, around Thanksgiving, Karen wanted, and we will one day, Karen, we want to take the kids, and I've served in one or two. I've done them in Mexico and also in Romania, and that's like a soup kitchen. You know, announce it to everybody you're having a big meal and actually be a servant. Matter of fact, they show it on, and I know it's for publicity. That's one of my hang-up words, publicity. The NFL players, and they're serving in soup kitchens and whatnot and these Thanksgiving places, hungry food for the hungry and poor. But really, did you know you can be a blessing to somebody else? Lastly, if you're saved, the ministry of God's gospel is this, and I believe this with all my heart. If you're really saved, you will produce fruit. If you say, well, I'm saved, Brother Michael, and you repeat back to me the facts about Jesus, all I can say was, I'm thankful. But if you never live like it, if you never act like you're saved, how would one know? Because it's only by our lips. We're saying, well, I'm saved, I love the Lord. But our actions don't reflect it. There's two ways that you can show you're saved. And that is by living a life pleasing to God. And if you're really saved, you want to. Matter of fact, if you're really saved, when you do slip up and do something you shouldn't do or don't do the things you should do, I feel guilty inside. I think it's God who tears me up because I'm not doing what I ought to do. How can you minister to others or be an example to others? Everybody is watching us. How are we going to live? Don't skip Thanksgiving this year. I'm not talking about the food. I'm not talking about the turkey. I'm not talking about the cranberry sauce and dressing. I'm talking about giving thanks to God. Don't skip Thanksgiving. Are you thankful for what you've been given and what blessings that you have? As we prepare for a hymn of invitation, would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Father, I just ask that you would help us to remember this remarkable gift that you've given to us, the gift of salvation. To not take it for granted. To not be like those other 9 lepers who were given a spectacular gift, a healing. Their disease is completely gone. Yet they took it for granted. How often we take things for granted. Let us not take our families for granted, our health, our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.